If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn them to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, and I want to take you on a little bit of a journey this morning into some basic biblical doctrine, but I've got a foundation to lay before I get there, and I hope that you stay with me. But this morning, as we turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 23, as we begin reading at verse 23, the Scripture says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and Pharisees?" The church people is who Jesus was speaking to. The church people, at least of His time. "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites," he called. You know, we use that word hypocrite every once in a while, don't we? Most of the time we use hypocrites because somebody's not acting like we think they should act, right? He uses hypocrites for people that were doing, they knew the law very well. They knew how to do church. "Hypocrites, for you are careful in tithe, even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important thing. Blind guides, you strain your water so that you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you will swallow a camel. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees," and for the second time he uses that word, "hypocrites. For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees," strike three, "hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outward you look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and with lawlessness." I have a feeling that Jesus, when he gave this message, I have a feeling that he did it in a much more firm voice than I used this morning. I think he was being very serious. I think he was being very firm. This morning I want to share with you a message that I'm calling "Getting Down to the Ugly." Getting down to the ugly. Don't any of you all be thinking that the guy in the picture looks like somebody you know, okay? You know. But I want to preach to you this morning with that thought of getting down to the ugly. There's an old adage that says, beauty is only skin deep. But New York playwright, the late Dorothy Parker, was noted as adding, "Beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes to the bone." Can I get an amen? Amen. In practically every manner of life, there is some product or system that is designed to improve the outward appearance. We purchase siding for our homes. We purchase a plethora of colors of roofing for our homes. We purchase yard decor for our homes. We got a little flag in front of our house, you know. We've got American flags on the front of our garage. Some of you even have gnomes in your garden. But we buy this stuff to decorate our homes. We put mulch down and we plant flowers. And of course, there's the old paintbrush. And a gallon of paint will do wonders to the outside of your home. We call it giving our homes curb appeal. And sometimes we'll do that, and the basement's got a foot of water standing in it, where we got a basement leak that's never been addressed. The foundation's cracked, and perhaps in the back room the ceiling is sagging, and you're just worried about it falling on you when you walk in. But the outside looks really nice. Some of y'all shaking your head. I have not been to your house. I do not look for that when I come to your house, okay? I was talking in life group this morning. We was talking along this line. Or we can buy fancy wheels for our pickup truck. Somebody told me here this week about spending $8,000 on wheels and tires for their pick-em-up truck. We can buy fancy wheels for our his or her truck. We can add some of the LED lighting under the fenders. Any of y'all got any? No, don't raise your hand. Put LED lights under the fenders. We can jack them up and we can squat them down in the rear end, which is now illegal in Tennessee. We can add chrome. We can paint it up. We can put graphics. We can put stickers on our truck. We can put eye-catching colors and all kinds of things. But a lot of times, because I did it for a lot of years, but under that bright, shiny red paint is about a gallon of Bondo. Just waiting to bubble up. You ladies might not understand that, but I'm speaking to the men right now. The bedsides are full of Bondo, the frame's rusted out, and the transmission is slipping, but man, that thing still looks good on the outside. You know, in the era I grew up in the 70s, in our hot rod era, you put mags on anything and it looked good. Didn't it, fellas? We decorate ourselves up in spite of having a closet full of sufficient clothes. We continue to go out and buy more and more and more clothes. I admit, I'm not exactly ashamed, but I probably should say this. I've got over 300 shirts, and guess what? When we go to the store, guess the first thing I go look at? I go look at shirts. Out of that 300, probably 250 of them won't come around me anymore, but that's okay. Don't hate on me, because someday I'm going to get back in them. It took me 3 this morning before I found one. Okay? We decorate ourselves up in spite of having full closets full of clothes. We go and buy the latest shoes. Amen, Sister Sarah. Even though our old ones are still in good shape and they're piled up in the corners of every closet in the house. But we need a new pair of shoes. Shoes speak of image. Right, Red? We spend money to have it tucked, trimmed, and tuned. We could Botox, facial cream, and we spend hard-earned money on the latest as seen on TV product that is going to help us to maintain our appearance. We have color in our hair, veneers on our teeth, and contact lens that changes the color of our eyes. So we'll be just a little bit prettier. We primp, we paint, and we tone. And a friend of ours has a sign up in her store that says, if you can't tone it, just tan it. We put a whole lot of effort into making these old houses look good. The reality of it is we're people possessed with our superficial appearance. We have apps on our tablets and we have them on our phone, and I'm as guilty as anybody else here. Sometimes I have trouble finding this little reverse tab where it turns around, and I can look at me own self, and I can take a picture of me and all of you all together. We can paint it, we can fix it, we can fix our smile, we can fix our complexion, we can do all kinds of things. We can even color our gray hair in our selfies. I've got an app that's an aging app. I'm looking for the one that is a youthful app where it can change the turkey neck and all the wrinkles. It shrivels all of that up. We can end up looking like movie stars with just a few swipes of the finger and touch of the button. I use my app every once in a while. I admit that. Did you know the women's makeup business netted $41.5 billion in 2023, and it is expected to top $70 billion by the year 2032. Ladies, y'all doing a whole lot to take care of things. Quit laughing, Charlie, because fellas, our personal grooming business netted, the personal male grooming business netted, is expected to net $61 billion this year. We spending more money, guys, than the women are. We do a lot to fix up the outside. The outside of our homes, the outside of our cars, and the outside of these old temples of flesh. We put a lot of effort into fixing them up. A whole lot of effort to fixing them up. But no matter if it's our vehicles or our bodies, the most important thing is really not the outward appearance, because it's underlying. Because that truck may be painted up bright red, but the transmission out of it, you're not going to get anywhere in it. The house could be painted up and the yard groomed, but if the ceilings are falling in and the basement's crumbling away, the foundation is failing, then you really don't have a whole lot to build upon. The truth of the matter is, the important thing is not the outward appearance, but the important thing is what is underlying. You see, and underneath all of the perceived beauty is where we find the ugly. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, is we must get down to the ugly. So our spiritual lives pretty much follow suit of our natural lives. In our spiritual lives, we can be a lot like those Pharisees and those teachers of the law. They knew how to adorn themselves. They had the right garments. They had the right words to speak. They had the right words to say. And they had the right walk to walk. They could do it all. But yet three times in that scripture, Jesus referred to them as hypocrites. You see, it's because they hadn't got down to the ugly yet. Understand with me this morning, whether it's myself or any of us in this room, we have trouble getting down to the ugly. Oftentimes the outward beauty can serve as just a temporary facade. It can be fake, if you would. And let me tell you something, I can fake you all off. And you can fake me out too. But none of us will ever fake God. None of us will ever fake God out. He sees, He knows, and He knows the deep recesses. You see, God knows how to get down to the ugly. Because He not only sees the pretty, but He sees the ugly. So, right now, all around us in these mountains, the hardwood trees. Today, they say this weekend's peak weekend. Aren't the leaves beautiful? Aren't they pretty? You know, I rode around one block over there in Wiffle last night. I went by it two times just so I could see one tree that was so beautiful. The trees are beautiful. The trees look pretty. And our mountains are doing what they do the best in the fall of the year. The vibrant colors, the reds, the fluorescent oranges, all the yellows. And we all can agree that the leaves are just so beautiful. But after the leaves are gone, there's nothing but bare, sprawling branches. Some of them broken. Some of them damaged from the storm that we had a few weeks ago. And even below that are the roots. And you don't ever hear anybody talk about how beautiful the roots are, do you? I don't ever recall driving by a tree and saying, "Look, Sarah, look how pretty the roots of that tree are. Aren't those the most beautiful roots in the world? Aren't those old scaly broken down limbs, aren't they the most beautiful limbs in the world?" You see, after all of the outward appearance falls off, then you start getting down to the ugly. And the real ugly goes down to the roots. Let me say this. When you think about the ugliness of the root, understand with me, the most unattractive part of that tree is where that tree gets its life from. That's where the health of the tree is found. Now, as a disclaimer this morning, I want you to know there's no harm in us taking care of our houses and our cars and our bodily appearance, and there's nothing wrong with us taking selfies. But I want us to answer this question to ourselves this morning. Is the root system of our soul what we really invest in? Do we invest our spiritual effort? Is it invested into all of the outward things of our appearance? Is all of our outward appearance invested into the outward appearance of our home, or is something invested into the foundation? Do we find ourselves, we invest in these bodies, but do we invest in our souls? Do we take as much effort, time, and money, and any other effort? Do we take as much effort to beautify the inward part of who we are, which is the soul? Do we do anything to invest in beautifying our soul, our spirits, like we spend on our bodies? That's a sobering question. When I wrote this out, when I was typing this up, I had to say, oh me, oh my. The task of creating an outward presentation in our spiritual lives has become very easy for the church. We look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those makers of the law, and we can say about them, yeah, they were hypocrites. Jesus called them hypocrites 3 times. But listen, they were very versed. They were religious. They knew how to do church. Well, guess what? So do we. We can put the shutters up, we can paint the walls, we can put the shiny wheels on and spread the shiny red paint. We can tuck it and trim it and tone it and tan it, and we can do all those things in the spiritual sense. We can do all of those things, but still the issues of the heart have never been addressed. That's why we have to get down to the ugly. We have to get beyond the superficial surface of who we are, and in giving ourselves over to Christ. We manicure our religious lawns. We shape our hedges. We do that painting. We do that religious painting. We shine up all of our religious chrome, and we excel in dressing up in religious style, form, and fashion. But yet, we fail to get down to the ugly. That part of us that we don't want anybody else to see. And that's why it's hard for us to address it. Nobody else sees it. Nobody else knows this about me. Nobody else knows what I think. So I can cover all of that over. But you see, that's exactly what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing in their heart. They were good at all the religious stuff, but in their heart was still corrupted with selfishness and greed and self-righteousness and pride. And 3 times Jesus deemed them as hypocrites. But I want you to know this. Taking care of the outside in the physical sense, it can be expensive, but unless you, now Sarah has a niece that's she's a plastic surgeon down in Florida, and I'm sure some of the stuff she's done, we've seen pictures of it, that looks painful. Why anybody wants to do that, I don't know, but it looks painful, some of the stuff that they do. But anyway, understand this with me. Most of the time what we do on the outside, it has some temporary pain. It has some temporary discomfort. It can cost a little bit of money. But the things on the inside that have to be addressed in our life sometimes are the most painful things that we can come to grips with. And part of that is because we think nobody knows that except us. But God's calling us to make more than just a physical presentation. We're not in some spiritual beauty pageant. We are not in some display our homes, display our house, or display our vehicle. No. God is interested in what is deep down within us just as much as what is on the outside. These people in our scripture are the most religious, were the most religious, intense religious people of their day. They knew how to do religion. They could do church. They crossed their T's and they dotted their I's, but yet they were missing something. I'm fearful that even in today's church, we still have the same problem. Let me remind you, these are the people that crucified Jesus. Hello? But Jesus was getting to the root in exposing the ugly. Because Jesus came to provide for us the fullness of salvation. You know why most people are saved? Because they want to go to heaven. Or if you want to flip the other side of the coin, most people are saved because they don't want to go to hell. And those are valid reasons. Those are valid causes. But understand this. Our salvation, the desire for our salvation actually should go beyond me on self. Because me on self don't want to go to hell. So therefore I get saved. Me on self wants to go to heaven. So therefore I get saved. But when we really get down, when we really get down to the ugly with Jesus, to be a Christian and to be a servant of the Lord, we're getting down to the ugly. We're getting down to the part that this is more than just about me. This is about a relationship of falling in love with Jesus Christ and serving Him in kingdom purpose, in kingdom fashion, in order that His kingdom will expand. I've been taught to pray that prayer. Most of us have anyway. Our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Let me tell you, he desires to manifest here and now on earth. He desires to manifest through his church. Not just a superficial church, but a church that has allowed him to get down to the ugly. That has been laid everything out before the Lord. You see, sometimes we just talk about salvation and we talk about it lightly. And I believe salvation is simple. I believe salvation is instant. And I believe that salvation comes through faith. Those are the staples that we believe in salvation. But there's four things that I want to share with you that salvation includes. These three works. The first work is the work of regeneration. Regeneration means that we are made new from the inside out. We have become spiritually alive. Now, I'm not insinuating that when you're saved, I was taught this, but I'm not insinuating. I think that there was probably, I won't say it was heretical, or it was a heresy, but I will say this. I believe that it was just misunderstood. When I got saved, I wasn't zapped into perfection. In fact, I'm still not zapped into perfection. And I've got news for you. Neither are you. Okay? But regeneration means from the inside out, there is a newness that occurs that begins to come. I'm no longer who I used to be, but I am a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. But that process, that growth begins from the inside out. Am I saved? Listen, either you're saved or you're not saved. I'm not any more saved now than I was back when I gave my heart to the Lord in 1979. But I have grown some in my relationship with the Lord, and I still have growing to do. There's a work of regeneration that occurs at salvation that is constant and ongoing, and it works from the inside out. It gets down in the ugly and begins to work its way to the outside in our life. If there is nothing changing in our lives as believers, then there is a good opportunity that we have not got down to the ugly. Because the work of regeneration occurs from that inside and comes outwardly. The second work of salvation is that work of justification. We're in our life group this morning, and I told Alicia she was about to get on all of my message, and she was, and that's good. But justification just simply means that we've been made right. Every single one of us in this room is guilty. Well, I'm a pretty good person, preacher. I'm sure you are, but you're still guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. All of us are guilty in this room this morning. But understand this. When Jesus comes in and He does His work in our life, there's a work of justification that says we should have been the ones nailed to a cross, but He was the one nailed to the cross, and He was nailed there in our place. Therefore, all those things that I'm guilty of, all those things that I have laden to my responsibility and to my charge, all of those things Jesus took responsibility for, and therefore I am justified because He declared me innocent when He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross. Thirdly, in the work of salvation is the work of sanctification. I do believe sanctification is a definite work of grace, but I don't believe it is necessarily an instant. We used to preach that years ago, that it was an instant and fulfilled work of grace. And a little bit of church history, that was the parting of the Assemblies of God and most other Pentecostal churches, because the Assemblies of God said that it was an ongoing, progressive work of grace. And now most mainstream Pentecostal churches embrace that thought or embrace that theology now. But understand this, sanctification means I'm set apart. It doesn't mean that I'm locked up in some room somewhere, or that I put in some glass bubble. It doesn't mean that I'm locked in some environment where nothing can touch me and I can touch nothing. No, but it does mean I'm of this world, but I'm not in this world. I don't have to act like the rest of the world is acting. I don't have to be like the rest of the world is being. I'm set apart. I'm separated by the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to my life. And day by day, I'm growing in my sanctification. Day by day, I'm increasing my knowledge and my understanding of the ways and the knowledge and the character of who God is through the person of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this, I'm still growing. I'm learning things every single day. And if you are not learning, if you are not growing in sanctification, then you need to allow God to get down to the ugly in your life and search out the ugly. Forget about dressing up. Don't try to look pretty for me. Don't try to do all the things that are right for me. But listen, understand, God wants us to give everything we have to Him down to the bone. And then the fourth part of our salvation is found in glorification. Now, that's when mortality takes on immortality, which will occur at consummation. Now, what consummation is, it means that you ain't breathing no more. Consummation means your heart is not pounding in your chest anymore. Consummation means you're dead. And dead means to be absent from the body. It's to be present with the Lord. Okay? We're on a journey. I've been traveling on this journey since 1979. No, I take it back. It was 1980. March of 1980 is when I began my journey. My journey hasn't always been easy. My journey hasn't always been walked so well by me. I have dressed the house up and I have spread paint on when there was a lot of ugly underneath. I'm still not perfect, nor do I claim to be perfect. If you follow me wrong, you will find that out. But I can tell you this, since March of 1980, that's what's that going to be, 35 years soon? 45 years. I didn't say I was good in math, okay? 45 years down the road. Longer some of you are old in this room today. 45 years on down the road today, I can tell you what. I'm still being regenerated. I'm still being justified. I'm still being sanctified. And there's coming a day, and if you outlive me, there's coming a day where you can say he reached glorification because he's finished his journey. It's over. It's done. He has made it. There is nothing else. He's went all the way to the bone. He got all the way down into the ugly with Jesus, and he's made it safely home. Understand this with me today. We need to be able to realize that spiritual beautification is not about our outward appearance. In fact, three of the four, the first three of these occurs in the ugly. It occurs in the ugly. It occurs in our flesh. The deep recesses of our flesh. Mm-hmm. A while back I had to get a bridge, dental bridge. My dentist, he said, well, you need to get this titanium bridge because it's, and he said, we're going to color match it to your teeth and it's going to look real pretty. Everything's going to match up. I said, who's going to be looking in my mouth? Who cares? Yeah. I thought about having it Virginia Tech colors, Faye. But we're so concerned about how people perceive us in our everyday life, and not only in our everyday life, but in our Christian walk. But we have never really got down to the ugly. Beauty's only skin deep. But ugly goes to the bone. We need to get down to the ugly and let God change our life and transform our life. How do we do that? I got to hurry up and get done here. How do we do that? First thing is we have to identify the ugly. For these religious folks that Jesus was talking to, if you go back and you read verse 25, you find there that the ugly is the sin of greed and self-indulgence. Boy, that doesn't happen in society anymore, does it? That doesn't happen in society anymore at all. So what could be the ugly in your life and my life? What could be the ugly in our lives? I'll let you answer your own question. What could be the ugly? What's the thing that you need to work on within? I dare say every single one of us in this room has something we need to work on within. Every single one of us has something that needs to be adjusted in our life. Every single one of us, it could be a personality issue. It could be an issue of anger. It could be an issue of harboring hatred in our hearts. There's all kinds of things. You see, when you get down into the ugly, the uglies are not tangible necessarily. You can't paint them up and you can't cut them out. And you can't make adjustments. Our uglies are the things that Jesus has to take care of in our life. So when we read Song of Solomon chapter 2, we see that God cares for the ugly. In fact, in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, there Solomon wrote, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom. You see, the young foxes that he's talking about there, to prevent the young foxes, to capture the young foxes before they ruin the vine, before they ruin the grapes. capture, watch out for the young foxes. You know what the young foxes would do? The young foxes never waited for the grapes to bloom. They never waited for the grapes to be hanging off the vine. The young foxes went in and they nibbled at the root of the vine. And as they nibbled at the root of the vine, guess what happened when the root was destroyed? The vine dies. You see, the enemy is not worried about the superficial things in our life of how we dress and how we look. And I don't misunderstand me. I'm all about being, modest at peril and being godly and presentable as believers of Christ. But listen, those are not the thing that God is interested in if underneath all the ugly is still abiding. He wants us to get down to the ugly. He wants to indulge in our ugliness himself. It's what nobody else can see. But yet the ugly needs the most attention in our life. It's the ugly that we sidestep. John, I'll ask you to come back to the piano, sir. It's the ugly that we sidestep. It's the ugly that we hope nobody finds out about. I recall a little lady, and forgive me for sharing this, but you all don't know who she was or anything like that. But there was a little lady that I used to worship with many years ago. And that little lady, in the terms of holiness, like it used to be, that woman was holy. She never wore a pair of slacks. She never wore high heel shoes. She never wore any jewelry. She never wore any makeup. She actually had a PhD. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Yeah. Pentecostal hairdo. She had everything she needed. She had all the appearance of holiness. But she could bite your head off, chew it up, and spit it out in a split second. Quite frankly, very few people liked her because she was so mean and so hateful. Let me tell you. You see, what God's wanting to get, He's wanting to go beyond the superficial. He wants to get down to the ugly in our lives. The part of our lives that we hope nobody really finds out about. The part of our life that we would prefer to keep hidden. That's the part that God wants to get down to. And that's only going to be accomplished through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If you haven't listened to anything else I've said today, listen to this. A tree will never produce anything contrary to its root. An oak tree with its massive taproot will never be a pine tree. An apple tree will never be a pear tree. It's important that we let God get down to the ugly. The root is the ugliest part of the tree. God, I need you to get down to the ugly in my life. Our devotion found in worship, the word, prayer, and praise, subjection, and submission are going to be key factors in getting down to the ugly. You know, there used to be, and I hate to use that terminology, there used to be a time when people would seek God and they would pray and they would say, well, God has shown me this about myself. Let me tell you something. Pastor has been praying for conviction to fall on the church once again. That we once again become concerned about all the stuff that nobody else knows. And it's not important that they ever know it. But understand this, what I'm saying to you. God saw what was going on in the Pharisees and those makers of the law. God knew it. Three times, Jesus said, you hypocrite. They were doing everything, as far as church, they were doing everything else right. But they hadn't got down to the ugly. They hadn't got down to the ugliness that was beyond the beauty that was only skin deep. See, God wants us to get down to the ugly parts of our lives. And say, God, I need you to help me here. I need you to change my attitude. I need you to change my heart. I need you to change the desires that I've been having, and the things that I've been feeling, the things that are tugging at me. God, I need you to get down to the ugly that nobody else has seen. Because God can take what's ugly and He can make something beautiful out of it. If we will just allow Him to get down to the ugly in our lives. I appreciate all y'all dressing nice and combing your hair and brushing your teeth and all like that. It certainly makes it a whole lot more pleasant to be in the room. But more important, what's going on down deep in your lives. Father, right now, as I come to you, Lord, I pray that we'll be a people that will get down to the ugly. Beneath the surface that we present in our life, and Lord, any facade that we may be presenting, God, let us get down deep into our hearts and our lives. Lord, and make sure that we've surrendered everything to you. God, we're not holding anything back. We can give you our praise, and we can give you our dress, and we can give you a lot of different things, but God, have we given you the deep parts of our life? So I pray for us in this room today. I pray for those that may be watching live. God, that we will give you that ugly part, that undesirable. That part that we don't want anybody to know about. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question this morning. If you're in this room and you've never been saved and you need to be saved, then Jesus is wanting to get down that ugly in your life. We all have it. If you've never been saved, or if you've been saved and you've turned and drifted far away from the Lord, without any embarrassment. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Anybody in this room. Pray for me. Number of hands gone up. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. I appreciate that. If you're in this room this morning, and there's been things in your life that you know that you've needed to give them to God. You've been holding on them too long. You've swept them under the rug, so to speak. You've swept them under the rug for years, maybe your whole lifetime. You've had them hid in your closet. But you know you need to give it to God without any embarrassment and towards you at all. Would you just slip up your hand and say, that's me, preacher. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Number of hands have gone up there as well. This is what I want us to do. Everybody that can and will, I just want us to take this a few moments, and I want us to come down here. If you raise your hand, I especially want you to come, because we're going to join together in prayer and pray for one another. And it's so important that you come. If you want special prayer, if you raise your hand, or even if you didn't, if you want special prayer, you let me know. We're going to ask for everybody that can and will in the church. Come right now, and let's pray. Just come stand. You say, well, I'm not part of this church. Yeah, you are now, because you're here today. Come on, join us. Now, here's what I want y'all to do. I want you just to lay your hand up on somebody's shoulder or beside of you, or someone close to you. If you're not close to anybody, move towards somebody where you, because the Bible says pray ye one for another. None of you all know who raised her hand or who did not raise her hand in this room. But I want you to pray for one another just like everybody raised their hand. And we're just believing God to minister to the needs of people in this room today. Minister for needs of salvation, for rededication, and for a release of those things that we've kept hidden so long. Father, today as we pray, Lord, we pray one for another. And God, as we pray one for another, Lord, we realize that today the word that you've given us is a sobering word. But Lord, we realize, Lord, that Lord, it's your good wishes and it's your desire for us to live victoriously and to make heaven our home. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, for every person, every hand that was raised, especially in this room. God, I pray that as you've moved upon their hearts this day, as your word, Lord, has penetrated into their spirits, I pray that today that they will call upon you, Lord, and it will be more than just a superficial or some type of just praying away our guilt, but Lord, that today decisions will be made that we will commit ourselves unto you, Lord. You know the deep recesses of our heart. You know what lies beneath the skin, down into the ugly. God, and I pray that today that you will minister, Lord Jesus. You will minister and you will work. People today will be delivered from things that have held them bondage for months, days, perhaps years, maybe all of their life. God, there's people today that are being ministered to, Lord God. Maybe they were abused. Maybe there's harsh feelings, Lord, that they're feeling in their lives right now towards another person. Maybe they've been neglected, Lord. Lord, we just know that you are touching and you're ministering. You're removing, Lord, all hatred, all bitterness. Lord, you're removing malice, jealousy, Lord God. Lord, you're removing, Lord, those things, Lord God, that would easily beset us, God. Lord, remove greed from our hearts, Lord, and vanity, oh God. Lord, but let our hearts, let our lives be pure before you. Cut us deep to the flesh, Lord, all the way to the bone, Lord Jesus. May we get down to the ugly with you, Lord, and allow you to minister to our lives, Lord God. Because we know that you love us that much. Lord, in fact, you told us in your will that it's your will for us to prosper and to be in health even as our souls does prosper. Lord, you said in your word, Lord God, that you have great plans for us, plans for us to succeed. So God, take us to that place, Lord, that you want us to be. Help us to go beyond, Lord, just a skin deep, Lord, experience with you. God, and let it go deep to the root. Lord, and may we have healthy roots only found in you, only found in your word that's going to produce good fruit. Good fruit worthy of repentance. God, bring us to that place in you, Jesus. Bring us to that place in you, Jesus, as only you can. We worship you today. We worship you today, Jesus. Does anybody desire special prayer this morning?